Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. I want to dive into the wide receiver tiers. I'm really excited about the wide receiver tiers. I've incorporated a little bit more stuff into these. So I'm going to have to go back and update some of the process that I did with this one. And I'll update it in the running back tiers in particular. I have to think about the quarterback ones. I'm not certain that it's going to work the same way with some of the stuff, but I got to take a look at it. I think it should work pretty well with running backs, but for reasons I'll explain in a second, quarterbacks will be maybe a little bit harder. So I did incorporate with these again. It is tiers, and so they're not linear, right? So I do have these ranked in different buckets, right? And that's how you should think of them. You should think of them as different strategies, right? As different profiles, and then make decisions between them, right? And I think seeing some of the similarities in costs in the tiers is really important because it gives you an idea of where things might be going, which we'll see in a minute. It sort of gives you an idea of different profiles, right? And who sort of looks a little bit alike, and who looks not quite as good as you might otherwise think, right? So that's kind of the idea. Right. And so, again, these aren't the top doesn't necessarily mean better. The bottom doesn't necessarily mean worse. I can tell you that on the bottom are the day three wide receivers with no hits. So those are probably not good. But, just because you're further down the list doesn't per se mean you're better. For example, I've got in the middle of the sheet, we got multiple hits 28 years or younger, right? That's a place we probably should be living, right? So, again, just think of those things, and then it's more meant to be a strategic thing. Inside the tiers, all ranked via our most recent real draft position, that will change, right? The real draft position will change. I haven't really posted it on the site because we're sort of working on something, and there's going to be more data now that NFL's rolled over. So hopefully, as the later part of February ticks on, we will have more startup data. We'll have more tools that we'll be able to use. So I haven't really made a big push on that because it's a little bit dated at this point. But this sort of gives us a general overview of where we are market-wise. And we'll have more stuff as we go along. So don't worry about that front. We will have that now that MFL's rolled over. I think as I'm recording this, it's been rolled over for maybe like 72 hours. Once more startup drafts get cranking, we'll get more data. So really excited about that. Okay, so the tiers should look similar with a couple of key differences, right? So in prior tiers, they were bucketed a little bit differently, right? So quarterbacks are really in a year's window. Wide receivers are a little bit tougher to do that with because we don't have the same level of security. It's a little bit different, right? And it's a little bit different of a process for me in terms of how I think of them, right? Because we're trying to make profile bets. I think at running back, you're trying to do it in longevity, same with quarterback. With these, I think you're trying to look more in terms of like production profiles and what's been historically successful. And to really put a number on like the length of the tier is a little bit more difficult. So I like to do this with by basically accomplishment and age is essentially the easiest way to do that. And then if you haven't hit, it's by pedigree, right? So the top tier is multiple hits, 29 years of age or older. The age that you will see is the 2020 play age that they will play at. So if you are 28 right now and are going to turn 29 in August, you'd be 29 on the sheet. If you're 28 right now and you'll turn 29 in December, you'll be 29 on the sheet. Okay. So if at any point, basically, in this calendar year, you're going to turn 29, you'll be 29 on the sheet. Right. So that's basically it. So if it shows up, if you see a different age, different places, this is more, I measure age of a player by the oldest age they play a season in, right? So basically whatever age they are at the end of the season, that's where I count the age. So the top tier is guys that will be 29 years of age or older during the 2021 season and that have multiple top 24 seasonal hits, okay? And then it goes down to multiple hits 28 years or younger, right? That's a place we probably should be living, generally speaking. single hit wide receivers that are 28 years or younger are below that. And then there's single hit 29 years of age or older. That is just one player. So I probably should, I could probably just delete that and put him in with the other ones, but I have him there just to kind of show a little bit of the outlierness of him. And then I have no hit players that are 21 or 28 years or older. And those are, you know, kind of like some situational guys in that tier. Again, that's not particularly lucrative, right? We think, you know, more experience, not a lot of production. That's kind of the profile that you're looking at there. And then you get, and then after that, you get the no hits, right? Basically, the guys that are 27 years of age or younger and are without a hit. So that's your rookies, you know, guys on rookie contracts or, you know, just short of a, on the beginning end of an extension. And then they're broken up by, you know, there's different tiers in there, basically first round, second round, third round, and then day three and UDFAs. So that's basically the organization of it. Not every wide receiver that's in the NFL is tiered. It's basically guys with real draft position right now. So again, if there's people that need to be added back, you know, sort of, hey, why didn't you include this guy? Go ahead, comment, shoot me a message or something. Hey, this guy should be incorporated. That's fine. And I'll, you know, I'll look at them and I'll make a judgment on whether they should, and we'll figure it out. And anytime you see a situation like that, don't hesitate to give feedback on that. So, and don't hesitate to give feedback ever, really, because I'll always take it, and I'm here to serve you guys. So, and gals. All right, so that's the I guess the vertical organization of it. Some of the interesting stuff here is the horizontal, if you will. So that's the player's name is in column A, and then column B, that's your 2020 seasonal finish. You know, that is total PPR points for the season. And then the next one is top 24 seasonal finishes to date, top 12 seasonal finishes to date. Like I said, your 2021 age, the draft round that you went in, right? First, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. UDFAs are eight, and I put eight in there just so it makes reading the formulas a little bit easier sort of on the back end of this. So that's why that's that. Then your experience, that's the amount of years that you have played in the NFL to date. Your dynamic density, so that is your density, you know, your odds for, the easiest way to think about that is odds for a future top 24 season, right? And it is for guys that have not hit. It is your base rate, right? So that is your base rate. And just so you know, there might be some empty ones in there. I calculate base rates through basically 5 years, right? The first 5 years of a career. And once you sort of don't hit during that 5 years, it's essentially like negligible. So I don't, you know, I just don't include them. All right, so you'll see a blank there, and that's the case. It's rare that there's actually those cases, but some of those lower tiers, they're in there. And then for guys that have hit, right, it's the prior, it's basically your prior round and hit number and sort of what that profile has done in the past, right? So if you, again, we'll just use Davante Adams because he's at the top. If you're looking at second round guys with five top 24 seasonal finishes, right, 42.86% of them have hit for a sixth top 24 season. So that's kind of how you think of it, right? That's kind of how you think of it. And that's, again, a starting point. That's not to say that I think Davante Adams is a less than 50-50 shot next year. I'm starting at that number, and then I'm thinking about, you know, I'm applying some logic and reason to it. If we look at wide receiver twos, and this will be something sort of as we get more market data, I'll incorporate this in there as well. We'll have a market implied number, right? Which is basically what does your draft round or your positional rank, what does that imply for a top 24 seasonal hit in the future? And sort of when you can incorporate both of those, you can sort of have a really, what I would say, a pretty efficient, you have the fundamentals of a player, and then you have like all that market knowledge, which is pretty valuable. There's some holes in the market makes some mistakes, but generally there's some signal to it. So that'll be something that we incorporate down the line, you know, just try and sharpen these numbers up a little bit. So again, the dynamic density, that's a starting number and meant to use as a reference, right? You can sort of move from there. And I don't move super aggressively where I don't have a really aggressive stance. I don't tend to have really aggressive stances on players, but I know that Davante Adams is an outlier above this number, right? We sort of know that he finishes wide receiver one, right? Outside of an injury, which his injury rate is less than the 58% or so that is the miss rate on the dynamic density. Outside of that, I think he's going to hit again, right? He's probably going to hit multiple times. This is just measuring one single hit. And so that'll be really the thing I think to look for, right? So that number is much higher, would be the point on Davante Adams. Again, a guy like Keenan Allen, similar, right? You're making judgments. You're using those as starting points, then making judgments, right? And I'll just say as a general matter, where a player is an outlier, the number is going to be less good. So what I mean by that is, like Tyreek Hill, as a fifth round guy, he's pushing the right bounds of the distribution, right? You don't see a lot of deep dense hits from fifth year guy or from round five guys. So him and Stephon Diggs are really pushing the boundaries. So when you sort of look at those density charts in the future, the guys on the right side going to be Tyreek Hill and Stephon Diggs. So their dynamic densities look like zeros, right? They are zeros. That is because they're basically the best that I have in the system in terms of their pedigrees, right? So that is, again, we have to adjust for that. We sort of know that, right? So we're going to really discount that dynamic density. And once we get the market data in, it'll give us a better adjustment towards that for sure there. So, so that's really the thing I think to think about with all of that. An additional thing that I've incorporated for the first time, and this is the thing that I'm going to have to go back on running back and do, and I will go back on quarterback and think about, because I have some thoughts on quarterback about how we might do this a little bit differently, just because some of the things that I think, just a short story of this, once you get sort of beyond a multiple hit situation with a quarterback, I think we should discount pedigree a little bit more, because those guys are typically on, you know, big extensions, right? So when Dak Prescott gets extended, Russell Wilson, for example, those guys, Tom Brady, right? Those guys at lower pedigrees, that sort of Kirk Cousins, right? They get that big extension. It puts them on a totally different track, and that's kind of what we're looking for at the beginning of their career. And then once they get it, they kind of get treated the same, right? So that's the thing I would look, I'm going to look at. So we'll see how this number goes. But what I'm really excited about here is in the wide receiver thing, it's experience progress. It's called the experience progress column. And what that means is it's a number. And what it means is where you are in relation to the dynamic density in terms of your experience. Okay, so for each dynamic density, I can go and find the average age of which you, or the average experience at which you accomplished it. Okay, so for example, the average experience that a second round wide receiver who gets to five top 24 seasonal finishes, that is at season 6.86. Okay, that is at 6.86. Okay, so just short of 7 years is the average it takes a second round wide receiver to get there. Okay, so it's pretty good, right? That means it's less than two misses in that first 7 years. So that's pretty good. So Davante Adams has 7 years of experience, and he's got five top 24 seasonal finishes. Okay, so he is 0.14 years behind the pace of that dynamic density. Okay, so again, essentially right on it. Right, essentially right on it. And what this is meant to do is kind of eliminate and refocus some of our numbers in terms of, or some of our perceptions in terms of the numbers. Okay, and so this will tell you kind of as a guiding post, hey, this person's is a person we should think is probably above this dynamic density or below this dynamic density, right? So if it's a fraction like that, if it's really close, then it's really close, and you're probably pretty close to what the number would be as a thought process, right? In terms of the career arc, if the number is positive, that means the player is better, right? On a better pace than their historical comps are. If the number is negative, that means the person is behind the pace. Okay, so I'll use an example here of a player behind the pace, and that would be Sammy Watkins, right? So Sammy Watkins has one top 24 seasonal finish. He has played 7 years in his career. Okay, so his dynamic density is 68.57, right? First round wide receiver with one hit, 68.57% of them hit for a second seasonal finish. Okay, when we go and look at experience progress, we know that he is actually 4.8 years. It's negative 4.8, okay, which means he is 4.8 years behind that pace, right? He has 4.8 years of experience past the dynamic density, the average dynamic density experience. Okay, so he's way off the pace. I think he's the biggest number in here. Julian Edelman's actually negative 6, right? So you kind of know that they're not, you know, they've really fallen off of that density arc, right? That's really the way to think about it. And so those big negative numbers, you know, anything more negative than 1, I think is a caution, and you have to think about it. So for example, Allen Robinson is negative 1.56. Again, there's an injury in there, and there's like a wide receiver 26 finish where he had 150 plus targets and like one of the worst efficiency seasons of all time. that's kind of accounts for it, right? Those two things, you sort of say, okay, well, that's kind of explains why his number is that low. So that's really the reference point, right? So that's, I think it sort of gives you an idea of where to think about it. This is sort of prompted from the Richard Rodgers experience last year where he had a really, really high dynamic density and we're like, yeah, that's just not right, right? This is sort of meant to gauge like the outliers, right? This is sort of tell you, hey, these are the guys that are like on a really aggressive track. AJ Brown is an example. He's at 2.16, a positive 2.16. So he's as a two-hit guy, as a second-round wide receiver with 2 years of experience, he's more than 2 years ahead of the pace of that average dynamic density, right? So you know that that's a really good track, right? So that's a really, really good track would be the way to think about that. You know, so again, the negatives on there, those are the cautionary ones. The positives, those are the really good ones. So you don't see like plus 2 very often. That's a really good one. So, and I'm doing some more related podcasts with each of the tiers that we'll go through. And then we'll have, you know, I have a discussion on AJ Brown in that. So, you know, so be on the lookout for that. But that's really the thought process there. So that gives you a framing idea of, hey, is this person behind pace, right? That's negative. Are they ahead of pace? That's a positive. Okay. And then your RDP is your real draft position, right? That's your ADP, right? But it's real drafts, so we call it RDP. And then RDP position is where you rank in the position, right? So, you know, Michael Thomas, wide receiver 8. He's the 8th wide receiver in real draft position. And then I do have some notes at the end. Again, it's not meant to be comprehensive. They're 140 characters or something like that, or less usually. Just some, you know, basic thoughts about what I have about the player, not super detailed, you know, that's meant more for podcasts or other things. This isn't meant to be like full on player profiles. It's got to fit on a usable sheet. So that's kind of where we're at. So that's basically it, right? So it's going to look similar in some respects to the other ones. We're kind of thinking about wide receivers a little bit differently than we think about quarterbacks and running backs. They do have longer longevities and you have to, you know, sort of account for it and think about it in different production windows as well. So that's really the thought on how these are organized and how they're all really put together. So that'll pretty much do it for this episode. Again, in the coming days, I have multiple podcasts coming out organized basically around different tiers and sort of breaking them down, looking at different players, arbitrage opportunities, all of those things. So be on the lookout for that. I think there's 3 of them. So it'll carry into next week. And then you can, you know, you can refer back to this. And while those are coming out, I'll be working on tight ends as well. So hopefully those by the end of next week, they'll be up and available for you as well. And I'll have a series of podcasts on those. And then we're cranking. Then we can get, you know, we sort of have a, at this point, we'll have kind of our, some of our bearings about where we were in the regular season, sort of where we stand in terms of the veterans. Then we can do some diving into some rookie draft stuff, right? I wanted to get all this stuff contextualized, sort of thought about, process, so that way we can hit some startup drafts now, you know, some veteran trades now, thinking about these players now while the market's, you know, wrapped up in rookies, and we can sort of get an edge there. We'll catch up with rookies, and then we'll be, you know, kicking butt heading into rookie draft season. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.